You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
I believe for what you say when you say you're going steady with nobody else but me. I believe for what you say when you say you don't kiss nobody else but me. I believe, do believe, I believe, yeah, believe pretty baby. Believe you're going steady with nobody else but me.
Well, believe what you say, Keith. That's something that I think a lot of people could take a lesson in, could they not?
Well, we hope you believe what we say, because we're giving you our unvarnished, with no punches pulled commentary on what has transpired over the past week. And I think that we're on the right track. Let me tell you this. That was, by the way, that was Ricky Nelson back in his rockabilly days singing a song written by Memphian's Johnny Burnett and his brother Dorsey Burnett, and the guitar solo, which was so good and all that, was another Southerner, James Burton of Louisiana. They are the ones that basically brought Ricky Nelson out from being just a pop star to a real rock and roll icon.
Well, if you're feeling a little blue this week in light of the circumstances, find good music, and I know that picks us up. Well, we're spending the entire night tonight talking about what happened in Washington. It completely changed our plans for what we were going to present this week. We knew we'd be talking about it a little bit. We didn't know what was going to happen.
We didn't know the counterattack was going to be quite so strong. White racism again. Somehow, although I didn't hear anybody commenting or any quotations by any of the so-called rioters saying anything that was racially insensitive in the least. Apparently they figured out that this guy is, that the whole thing was a secret plot by white supremacists.
And as a matter of fact, Keith, listen to this, in real time, to accentuate your point, Nancy Pelosi just released a statement, rioters chose their whiteness over democracy. Now, whatever that's
now, how in the hell did she figure that out? You know, who said that they were doing this, white movement?
Look, it was because of the voter fraud. There are still widespread allegations of election fraud that are believed to be valid by half the voters in this country. That issue was not settled because the Republicans capitulated like a cardboard outhouse.
And because also, because the Supreme Court refused
all
to do
of
its
that,
constitutional
the media
duty.
Ran their suppression tactics as well. Now the president is banned from even sending an email. He's banned from all social media, Facebook, Twitter. And again, the overreaction to what happened this week by the media and the politicians is unreal. They don't even believe it. They're saying this was the darkest day in American history. Now, the darkest day in American history was when Robert E. Lee surrendered at Appomattox. This was not the darkest day in American history by damn sight. They're going to use this as a political sledgehammer in ways heretofore unimagined. And ultimately, these people putting their feet up on Nancy's desk and walking out with a lectern and taking selfies in Pence's chair, going in a building without permission and being quickly removed. Boy, they are going to take that and run with it. But we got James in Tennessee. If you can believe it, ladies and gentlemen, James, he's been waiting very patiently. James, you're on the air. What do you got for us, buddy?
Hey, brother. Hey, Keith.
How's it going?
Hello.
All right. I was going to give you a little insight. My son's girlfriend's dad, a group of 100 of them, went to the thing in D.C. They left.
Yeah, what
Tuesday
do you know?
He was telling some stuff, there is Antifa there, mingled in with them, but he saw buses of them being bussed in, and then they got out of the, off the bus onto a black, one of those transporter deals, and they were bussed around the backside of the Capitol, and they were unloaded from there, and because on the front side, the monument side of the bill of the Capitol, that's where all the Trump supporters were, and those were the ones that they didn't know about on the other side what was going on. But
you know, that's,
we'd heard that.
That's
actually
interesting, James. Thank you for the call, buddy. We need to talk after. We need to actually talk after the show, so maybe we can do that. But to your point, and we'll let you fly. Thank you so much to you and Todd. Hey, these guys. You know what, Keith? These guys. It's not uncommon for them to get together. And they get together in the garage, and they crack open a couple of tall boys, and they listen to the show on Saturday nights. And there are kind of people. We've met them at some of our events. They're very good friends.
I know exactly
who
they are.
Fantastic guys, and they're guys I'm proud to know and proud to stand by, and I'm so proud they stand by us. But I have heard that Antifa, there was a few Antifa agents, or maybe something even more than Antifa. Maybe it was absolutely, you know, three-letter organization agents that were in the crowd that sort of led them. But, I mean, you really don't even need, really, Judas goats to lead you if you've got law enforcement letting you in the door, which is, of course, what happened. And even if they did overpower law enforcement, now that's obviously, look, you don't want to go and pick a fight with a cop. I shouldn't have to even say that. You know that. But you shouldn't wrestle with the cops or disobey orders from cops in a situation like that. But why was there such a small security presence? Could have been Antifa, others. But
thing is, there was nothing here to compare with what was happening in these Black Lives Matter and Antifa uprisings in San Francisco, in Portland, in Minneapolis, in Wisconsin, all over the Kenosha, Wisconsin. This is a tempest in a teapot, and this idea that whites are racist, that seems to be the emerging storyline coming out through mainstream media, is ridiculous. Well, my observation is this. White people are the least racist group of people, race of people in the world. They have a soft spot in their heart that I don't see in Black Lives Matter or in the NAACP even, or in Antifa. And they're always looking to build bridges with other races rather than get into violent confrontations with them.
Again, we don't want to slip into conspiracy mode. I think in any situation, the simplest answer is usually the correct one. And to me, it's the lack of preparation from law enforcement that allowed them, and perhaps that was by design. You certainly have to wonder, again, why so few there was such a small amount of law enforcement presence there that allowed the crowd to so easily gain entry into the Capitol. Why were they so unprepared and undermanned? D.C. routinely deals with crowds like this. It's questions that need to be asked and answered. But it was all too convenient how all of this immediately shifted the focus off of election fraud and on to how we can further subjugate the population, how we can further assault their very most basic rights. But using this so-called insurrection as an excuse, the Senate had rejected the attempt to ensure election integrity in Arizona by a vote of 93-6. So it became very increasingly clear to me that the regime was...
Look, Washington is enemy-occupied territory for over half of the population of the United States of America. Unfortunate, but true. Now, let's get to this racism theme that seems to have cropped up like a mushroom or a toadstool overnight after this.
Yeah, we got Kevin from South Dakota. Want to say a word? We want to talk to our friend Kevin. But you're right. I mean, it instantly goes back to racism. It always does.
And where is the racist quote by anybody? I didn't see David Duke... or any of these things that they want to always point to. There was no comment whatsoever to tie race to this.
We'll be right back.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, so we're trying to unpack this thing as meticulously as we can. The American government routinely and brazenly engages in the criminal practice of regime change around the world, but it's impossible to imagine that they would do it here. Obviously, you can give me a break with that, but if all of this leads to the death of the Republican Party, I'll be happy with that. Trump would have served one more term. The dissolution of the GOP will be a benefit to us much longer than that. If Trump accomplished nothing more than eviscerating the trust that half the country has in the media and the electoral system, then we're going to be better off than we were yesterday. We cannot vote ourselves out of this, and the sooner we realize this, the sooner real solutions will present themselves.
Well, let me say this about Trump. Trump started something that is not going to end with Trump. He turned the Republican Party into a nationalist, populist type of party, at least in terms of its base, not in terms of its leadership. Now, I don't think it's ever going to return to what it used to be. If the main party does not become more nationalist and populist, then people are going to abandon it and create a third party, because they're not going to tolerate the Mitch McConnells and the turncoat typical people that we have, the Mitt Romneys, the Ben Sasses. If that's the Republican Party, I think that Trump and his followers will repudiate that, and there's going to be a change in the political landscape in America, just exactly what it's going to be on the right-hand side of the ledger. I don't know, but it's not going to be business as usual.
Now, I want to address something you said before the break. You mentioned that it wasn't like they had a David Duke or anything to anchor this to. Now, obviously, David Duke is a great friend of ours. If there had been people as honorable as David Duke in the United States Senate or in the United States House of Representatives, if there were more people like David Duke in government, perhaps it wouldn't have gotten to this point, to this nadir. But you're right about what you were saying, and I know what you meant when you said trying to say.
Yeah, what it was, see, with Charlottesville, they could point to that. Where did they go to? They ignored everyone else and went to David Duke
They didn't have anything like that there this time. They didn't have their favorite whipping stick there this time.
If they could have resurrected Adolf Hitler, they would have had him there.
Right, but they've got to have these people
that they demonize, and I'm with you. David Duke doesn't deserve that demonization. But on the other hand, I haven't heard one peep from anybody on the mainstream right, the alt-right supposedly, that came out and claimed credit for anything January the 6th matter. But it doesn't matter. These people with their Ouija board have seen somehow, looked through the midst and found that somehow the Italian hand of the alt-right or the so-called racist right or something like this was involved in this. And it's totally a fabrication. Why is the left and the media and the mainstream driving this narrative when there is no evidence whatsoever to support it?
Well, and to the David Duke thing, in fact, I was thinking about having David on the show tonight. We'll try to get him next week, and I'd really like to hear his take on this as someone who has had elected office before. We got to get to Kevin in South Dakota. But the thing about Duke is, to the point you were trying to make, and I know we were coming up on a break, and again, just to clarify any confusion, used to what they would have to do was they would do like the 6 degrees of separation. They would do the parody of McCarthyism, the links and ties and links. Like if a person was linked to James Edwards or Jared Taylor or David Duke or Peter Brimble or any of the people we have on this show, then that was the evidence that they were ne'er-do-wells. Well, now, really for the first time, we're seeing forget any sort of connection to people that they hate. They're just going full bore with all of these people are Nazis, anti-Semites, racists.
That's what they've based. That's the fault line in society they've decided to build.
But
the revolution
used to, they had to at least try to connect you to somebody that was a leader.
Race. The cultural Marxists chose race rather than economic class like Marx and Engels or even religion as the great fault line. And the reason is that's the most elementary thing you can do. You can't be too dumb to be able to distinguish who's a white person and who's a black person. And because of that, they said this is the way to really animate the masses and get them on board with our agenda to make this an anti-white movement. So any opposition to their agenda and their takeover has to be the inspiration of white races.
Let's go to Kevin in South Dakota. Kevin, thanks for waiting. What can we do for you, buddy?
Hey, James, I just wanted to say a couple things about the current political climate and the recent events. First off, I would personally encourage every single person listening to this right now to never, ever vote Republican ever again. All of these empty suits with an R next to their name, they're just controlled opposition. They don't really care about we the people. All they care about is keeping their own personal wealth and privilege and dying comfortably in bed. Like you said, it's time for the GOP to just fade away. Second of all, we have to become rottener. There's an awful lot of right-wingers who still believe in playing.
They need to go the way of the Whig Party.
Quote, unquote, and they're just incredibly naive. Our enemies don't play by any rules, and they hate us the same regardless. How many low blows and cheap shots can you take before you realize that? You know, we're so accustomed to law and order and a civilized structure of government over the centuries that we just blindly accept whoever's at the top. And we seriously have to start questioning the validity of the government in Washington and the media. You know, who died and left them in charge? That's all I wanted to say.
Well, let me say this.
Thank you for the call, Kevin.
Kevin, I think the Republicans are going to go the way of the Whigs. I really do. I think that there's something else, something in the air, and what's going to happen is a new paradigm is going to develop in American politics. It may be a new second party to be the opposition, or it may be total suppression of any dissent.
Whatever it is.
And devolving it into a one-party government like the Soviet Union.
Whatever it is, it's going to be better than what we've got, because what we've got is a decline at an accelerated pace with the Democrats, a decline at a slightly less accelerated pace with the Republicans. That's the way it's always been, going back decades and decades and decades. And it would have been, to Kevin's point, impossible, literally impossible, for the Republican Party to condemn its supporters any harder. They think that the Democrats and the media might respect and admire them for doing so. And of course, that's what they live for. That's what they live for, Keith. That's what they crave.
They're like a little puppy that wants to be petted on the head.
They crave that acceptance. And I hope they cuck until they never win another election. There was Lisping Lindsey Graham. If you can't trust a gay Republican, who can you trust? He exited the arena. That was one of the few things that brought a smile to my face this week, seeing him accosted as he walked through an airport. Graham said that if you're a conservative, the idea that we could have reversed the election as Donald Trump had urged Mike Pence to do was the most offensive concept in the world. Well, just a few hours earlier, Graham was leading the bandwagon for. That's how quick and how entirely in a 180 degree angle they can turn.
They can change sides so seamlessly and so effortlessly. I mean, you've got to admire them. They are the most duplicitous people in the world.
But they've always been that. We know that. Pathetic Republicans abandoning anything that they said they stood for a few hours prior because the winds had shifted that rapidly. No loyalty, no honor, no courage. They'll betray their boss, Donald Trump. They'll betray you, too. They do betray you every single time.
They would sell their mother into white slavery. And let me tell you, this is what has happened with the Republican Party. Is, you know, they're on record for everybody to see. They can't stand up. You know, they can't even stand against election fraud. Obvious, documented election fraud that resulted in the stealing of a presidential election is something they're willing to turn a blind eye to in order to maintain their membership in that elite country club called Congress in the United States legislative branch.
People would say, well, Trump was disloyal to a lot of people, too. And believe me, folks, believe me, I get it. In fact, I have personal experience with it. You remember the interview with Donald Trump Jr.?
Probably the most disloyal person I ever knew, according to Ann Coulter.
The Trump family denounced us on numerous occasions after soliciting that appearance. But for some reason, watching these worms attempting to better themselves in the wake of what happened on Wednesday, to me, was far,
talk about
far
rats leaving a sinking
worse.
Ship.
We'll be right back with more.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
A West Virginia lawmaker facing federal charges for breaching the Capitol building has resigned. Republican delegate Derek Evans stepped down from his position in a statement on Saturday, saying he would focus on his personal situation and allow the legislature to focus on its business. Evans is facing charges of violent entry and disorderly conduct. Indonesian officials say a passenger jet carrying 62 people is believed to have crashed into the sea on Saturday, minutes after taking off from Jakarta's Soekarno-Hatta International Airport. Air traffic controllers lost contact with the Boeing 737-500 aircraft about 4 minutes after takeoff. The country's transportation ministry says more than a dozen vessels, including four warships, have been deployed for a search and rescue operation. Debris has been found believed to be from the plane, but there had been no confirmation as night fell in the area. This is USA Radio News.
Energize Health. Awesome and amazing day. Men, John Jubilee with Energize Health, and I want to just talk to you man-to-man for a moment. One-third of men 50 and over suffer with high blood pressure. That high blood pressure medication has a horrible side effect, worse than death, erectile dysfunction. And it's brutal, but let's just talk about it medically. We have had thousands of people completely reverse diabetes, high blood pressure, irritable bowel syndrome, yes, and ED, raise their testosterone 500 points naturally through the breakthrough science of intercellular hydration. Men, if you're intelligent, you're skeptical. I want you to be skeptical. But go log on to our website, energizehealth.com. Click that red button, watch a masterclass, and then watch thousands of men just like you who reversed every single issue that I just mentioned. I don't make a claim. My clients make a claim. EnergizeHealth.com.
Twitter has permanently suspended President Trump's account after what they called a risk to further incitement of violence. Congressman Tom McClintock disagrees, saying that allowing corporations to be gatekeepers of speech is dangerous. The California Republican tells Fox News that banning the president could be a step towards the loss of free speech.
The reason is because words and thoughts can be countered by better words and thoughts. That's why we have a First Amendment. What we're hearing now, something's fundamentally different, is to set up government or corporate officials to decide what speech is acceptable and what is not. That's a very dangerous power that can quickly become abused. The president did not call on these rioters to break into the Capitol and to impede the Congress's work. He gave a very fiery speech. I thought it showed very poor judgment, but it was no more fiery a speech than what we're hearing from the Democrats now, freedom of speech. And the moment we begin punishing that or censoring that, we've lost our First Amendment, and we may never get it back.
This is USA Radio News.
Oh, yeah, oh.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
I saw a fake news headline this week. America watched in horror as Trump supporters stormed the Capitol. And to that I say... A curse word. You know, what I saw...
I'm surprised they didn't Photoshop some Ku Klux Klan outfits on the people doing it.
Well, they loved the couple of people that went in there with beautiful Confederate flags, that's for sure. Michelle Obama saying the traitorous Confederate flag. Well, it was the last flag that fought for anything resembling what the Founding Fathers had in mind for
Amen.
This country, I'll tell you that. I saw people walking in line through Statuary Hall like they were on a museum tour. It was nothing compared to the looting, the arson, the destruction of a BLM, right? We've been talking about that all night. But the takeaway again is might makes right. Might makes right. BLM loots, burns, and destroys. Nothing to see. Ill-advised and unfortunate MAGA supporters going through
well,
the
Well, what Capitol. It shows is that BLM are stormtroopers for the regime, okay, for the status quo. Those are the people that are supported by mainstream media and the mainstream government in America today. Sad as that is, well, that's who they are their chosen people. Okay,
people were saying the government was saying representatives of the government, elected officials, whatever you want to call them. The U.S. Capitol is a sacred temple of democracy. It's a whorehouse, is what it is.
Yeah,
totally bought and controlled.
It's a temple to Baal
by interest groups and foreign governments. That's what it is. Even. Yeah, that's right. Sam's right. It is the temple of democracy. We don't have a democracy.
Oh, and democracy has been driven out of it.
The Tucker Carlson even said this week, people are, you know, I actually said this just moments ago, and I see Tucker had said it too. People are surprised when a tactic that's proved effective by one group of people is taken up by another group of people. And... that's for sure. Again, though, the respectable conservatives are the most disgusting creatures on the planet. I saw Brian Kilmeade of Fox and Friends. Now, Fox and Friends has all but, I can't even tell you what they've all but done to Donald Trump over the last 4 or 5 years. They've all but kissed him. I mean, they have fawned and coddled. They have, listen, they've been his biggest cheerleaders. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but that's who they are. But then after yesterday, here's Brian Kilmeade. Whether it be elected officials or conservative media, they'll be the first to abandon the field and acquiesce in an effort to benefit themselves. Brian Kilmeade calls Trump terrible. Now, that, again, this is coming from his biggest cheerleaders. That's not who we are, ladies and gentlemen. We're the No Retreat, No Surrender, No Apology show. We're never going to back down. We're never going
to Like I told you earlier in the show, James, it is just, I mean, it's beautiful to see these Republicans and these so-called mainstream conservatives. They change so seamlessly from one side to another. They're totally on board with Trump and on one moment, and the next moment, they're totally
Joe Biden saying there was a double standard in the treatment of the Capitol mob, quote unquote, the Black Lives Matter. Well, Senile Joe is certainly right about that. The only thing is it's in the exact opposite way of what he's pretending it to be. Maybe they could show us when they used live ammo on BLM protesters. That never happened. In fact, police forces around the nation knelt with Black Lives Matter. So many memes, one picture, comparative images, image on one side of a BLM peaceful protest, image on the other side of the so-called insurrection or the treason. I mean, it looks like a Dresden firebombing here in Minnesota. I'm looking at a Ramsey Paul, post on Twitter. Minnesota is absolutely engulfed in flames, that they called a peaceful protest,
and at
the riot, they've got a guy waving an American flag in the Capitol Rotunda. So what kind of half-assed coup was this? The unarmed kind, the unplanned kind, the leaderless kind? The majority of the crowd seemed more like tourists with cameras to me. That there was no plan.
They weren't taking selfies inside.
This
yeah.
was not a planned coup. Some people got out of hand. They'll be dealt with. But this whole thing, darkest day in American history. Give me a break. Give me
well,
a break.
Well, it's the darkest day in American history for a reason they don't intend. It shows that we now have a one regime in America. What's going to happen to America in the Biden administration? That's something we're going to cover a little bit later in this show. But just think about what the you know, the consequences are of what happened. Basically, there's no redress. There's no voice for people who oppose the mainstream government.
Well, Pat Buchanan, one of the few honest people that has a column in a brick-and-mortar newspaper anymore. Trump supporters today are being smeared and castigated, Pat writes, by the same media who lionized BLM and Antifa as peaceful protesters while they spent their summer rioting, looting, burning scores of American cities. And they keep talking about this, as James Kirkpatrick of VDare wrote. They keep talking about this like it's hypothetical, but no, it actually happened all summer, and they didn't get shot. They got huge policy concessions of billions of dollars.
And $10 billion total from corporate America. That's the wages of sin today. In other words, I guess the people, the MAGAPEDs that were at this January the 6th so-called uprising in D.C., I guess they're waiting around for their checks from corporate America. I think they're waiting in vain.
Look at this. Look at this. I'll tell you one thing before I paint a verbal picture of what I'm looking at right now. The events of the past 48 hours, the events of the past week, I guess you could say now, have made me even more thankful for heroes like my Confederate ancestors who never apologized or betrayed their countrymen. I am glad that I have that conviction running through my veins. I see a headline here. Representative Andy Kim cleans up the wreckage left by Capitol rioters. He's actually picking up, and we have a picture of this, they used to illustrate that headline, cleaning up the wreckage left by Capitol rioters. He's picking up four water bottles. And then that is juxtaposed next to a picture of a CNN screenshot that said, fiery but mostly peaceful protest in Kenosha. And it has the entire background is completely, it's a real holocaust.
Well, see, you're totally confused again, James. Those water bottles were actually Molotov cocktails. But
yeah, I heard about Molotov cocktails.
But the Trump supporters were so dumb that they filled the bottles with water rather than gasoline.
Well, I guess that was the case. I heard of some allegations of Molotov cocktails. I never saw it. I did see what a mostly peaceful Democratic protest looks like. And it is absolute carnage. It's a war zone. Patrick is with us from Texas. Keith, Patrick, take it away. We got about a minute before the break.
That's his people. He was scolding them to don't get too wrapped up in a case. But he said, ICRI law is unconstitutional. Now, ICRI law, we're a common law country. You know, it's like, according to the common law, you know, you're judging them here a case worth $20. But Lord Mansfield, he took energy law and common law and mixed it together and created equity law. And that's what they're doing. And now, Attorney General Barr said it's unconstitutional, and it's right. It's just evidence to show that these people are using something they ain't supposed to be using us. We got rights. We're not supposed to, and it's supposed to be, of course, not should be denied or disparaged. It's natural law. It's God's law. And they shouldn't be using all these other different legal systems on us, like commercial law, like equity law. I'll leave it at that. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for the call, Patrick. We certainly agree with you. You make some great points, and it's always good to hear from you. Thank you for tuning in. Again, looking here at yet another picture of police being chased out of a precinct in Minneapolis. They Democratic supporters, let's just call them that. Let's just call them Democrats. That's what they are. They seized the building. They set it on fire. Not one of them was shot, let alone killed. And by the way, our good friend John really needs associate producer credits here on TPC. John over in the UK, have you seen the letter of praise that Nancy Pelosi wrote to the dissidents in Hong Kong after they stormed their Capitol building? Nancy wrote, "It was beautiful to see Beautiful to see. Now, again, what's the breaking news there? The Democrats are hypocrites? No, but listen, it's still, you should still know these things. You should still know exactly how criminally corrupt
we have and a one party
of any decency and honor that they are.
We have a one-party government, folks, and it's been a coup that's been in the making ever since Donald Trump snuck in and surprised them. They thought they were going to be well on their way to this great reset by now, but they have now, all is well in the world, according to the left, because they have driven out the infidel, and now they're back in control.
Well, they're in control for sure. They banned the president from all social media. And to his defense, as I said this week, they'd banned every president prior to JFK as well. But did we miss the part where Trump actually called for violence or any sort of illegal
activity? I never saw that. I never saw any so-called white alt-right group or anything endorse this or claim credit for it. But nonetheless, they see the Italian hand of the right-wing white people involved in all of this. And it's racist whites. It's not just white people. But, of course, and the new definition, as we pointed out, all white people are racist.
All right, we'll be right back. Stay tuned, everybody.
Here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Listen, we I want to say two more things about this. I want to shift gears just for a moment, just for a segment, about the Georgia Senate runoffs and the the ramifications there. But in talking about Donald Trump being banned from Twitter, they said that they banned him because he violated its rules glorifying violence. When asked what Donald Trump said that violated their rules against glorifying violence, Twitter responded, Mr. Trump had posted on Friday that his supporters were patriots and that he would not go to the presidential inauguration on January 20th. Now,
what did I miss there? Where was the endorsement of violence?
That's the thing. If you can have such a warped defining of terms that it's the glorification of violence to say that your supporters are patriots and you're not going to go to an inauguration. If that's violence, then, you know, they can get rid of anybody at any time. And, of course, that they do. They do that. But I guess the biggest summary we could give you for our commentary, the first hour and 45 minutes of tonight's program, is that a handful of people emulated in the most minor way the actions of the violent left, the summer riots that were cheered and excused by every authority, and conservatives rushed to the nearest microphone in tears to condemn and surrender. And that's basically, that's what you've got. That's why the Republican Party needs to die. They will never. And they will die when they're running people like David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler. The only thing I heard them say as they ran in this most critical race was that they were against socialism and anti-Semitism. Now, your base wants you to build a wall and for you to take their side. The GOP deserves to lose. And with regards to the situation in that Senate race, two milquetoast candidates that denounce racism and play march to the drum that the left sets out for them. They deserve to lose. Apparently, they did lose. I don't know if the suitcases were brought in. It was very similar to the presidential election night with the about 95% of the vote in, the counting stalled for several hours, and then sometime the next day, oh, don't you know it, Warnock and Ossoff it is.
Well, look, James, they cheated in the presidential election, the big kahuna, okay, the number one election in America. Did you ever doubt that they would cheat on these senatorial races in Georgia? Well, if you did, well, see me after the show. There's a bridge in Brooklyn I'd like to sell you. Well, these people, you know, the problem with the Republican Party and with the, well, let's put also with the people with Twitter and whatnot, they engage in Orwellian newspeak. That's all they do. They're basically, it's like the Queen of Hearts. Words don't mean what words mean. Words mean what I say they mean. So they made that quotation that says nothing about violence, and somehow they read violence into that, and they sit there with a bold face and say, of course he threatened violence. Just listen to this. And I said, well, you know, I may be speaking a different language from you, but I don't see violence being advocated anywhere there. You've got to understand, we're dealing with people that are so fundamentally dishonest that they can tell lies with a straight face. They would rather climb on the roof and tell a lie than stand on the ground and tell the truth.
Or as is often said, a lie can make its way around the world before the truth could get its boots on.
Yeah, that's it. But, you know, this is, look, these people are in control of the media. We've got a one-party state now. What's going to happen to America under Joe Biden? Now, that is a big question.
That's the in fact, that's what we're going to be tackling. What's next? We're going to have our good friend Rich Hamblin on. We decided that this was an executive decision that was made during the last segment. We're going to have Rich on to talk about what's next and why he got the vibe that what was going to happen on Wednesday was going to be more like a Charlottesville than an uneventful gathering.
I
thought it was going to be an uneventful gathering, but it does look now like as if
anybody that went there is going to be vilified, just like anybody that went to Charlottesville was vilified.
We're all David Duke and James Edwards now, but it looks like the Democratic wing of the duopoly is going to take a turn at being in control for a little while.
It's going to be in control for the duration. It's going to be like the Soviet Union. Maybe 70 years later, we'll crawl out of this thing. But you know,
after it. Yeah, collapses underneath its own gravity. But another thing that happened, though, was that as we saw this with Roy Moore, too, in his race against Doug Jones a couple of years ago in the midterm. smaller Republican counties in Georgia, as they did in Alabama on that night. The smaller Republican counties, the smaller rural counties that go heavily for the Republican candidates, they report their vote totals almost immediately. And then the majority Democratic counties in Atlanta and Birmingham, now then they sit and they figure out how many votes they need to win, and then magically that number appears.
Well, time and effort to cheat, James.
Well, people would say, well, Atlanta is a much bigger city, and so it takes longer. Well, they have much bigger resources as well. They have more people. It should take about the same time. They should have a proportionate a number of people and vote counters and machines.
Look, if you
relative
do not,
to the smaller counties,
if you don't let a place like Atlanta cheat, you're engaging in systemic racism.
Well, but again, I mean, is it a great loss that Kelly Loeffler lost? There was Kelly Loeffler with the President of the United States, Donald Trump, on Tuesday, the day before what happened on Wednesday, saying the first thing she was going to do, you know, she's still a sitting senator, by the way, until they switch over. And she said the first thing she was going to do was object to the certification of the votes in Georgia. Well, then Wednesday happened, and you know what she said when she got up to the microphone? She was crying, saying, I can't object to the vote. It would be so bad.
I might be drummed out of the country club.
Yeah, so well, the Senate. She's drummed out anyway, but I guess she'd be drummed out of the cocktail party. Well,
she's not even an emeritus member. She couldn't even go there and get a snack anymore.
Well, in any event, what do you make of – so now you've got the Jewish Ossoff and the black Warnock. Warnock is like a love child between Martin Luther King and Barack Obama.
I'd say he's more like Malcolm X and Patrice Lumumba.
Well, in any event, this is who you've got representing the state of Georgia, Ossoff and Warnock. And
like I said, it's going to be the more radical elements in the Democratic Party that are going to be leading the agenda – and determining the agenda for the Republicans, for the Democrats. The Mensheviks are not going to be in charge. It's the Bolsheviks, or to go to the French Revolution, it's not the Girondists that will be in charge. It will be the Jacobins. And Warnock, I say, will probably have a leading hand in all of this.
Okay, now, though, would it have helped anybody with right-of-center persuasions if Loeffler or Perdue had won? You would have either one or two anti-white, so-called anti-racist.
It would have made no difference whatsoever
if the Republicans had.
I tell you what would happen.
One vote majority in the Senate.
Ben Sasse and Mitt Romney would have, even if they had been true blue and loyal to the Trump agenda, they would have been canceled out by Ben Sasse and Mitt Romney.
So you're saying if the Republicans
had won, it would have been
wouldn't have mattered.
When all was said and done, more be said than done. There's not that, you know, somehow we're going to save America by having this pair, you know, Tweedledum and Tweedledee.
Would it have been any better at all for people like us, people who have a founding father-esque type of opinion on the way this thing should be run?
No, not at all. Look, you know, you're dreaming. It never has made any difference. The Republicans always suffer from traitors in their midst to the cause of true conservatism. The left, on the other hand, the Democrats, never have any defectors among their ranks.
All right, Keith, so there you have it. So now we know that they are going after hammer and tong. I mean, they are aggressively. That guy that put his feet up on Pelosi's desk, I mean, he's going to be buried under the courthouse. They're going after
people. He'll be in jail for 417 years like James Alton Fields.
Well,
from Charlottesville.
They're going to get, I can tell you, whatever sentence they can receive, it'll be the heaviest of the possible verdicts. And the guy with the Viking horns and all of these different characters that we saw loitering in the Capitol, they are going to be doing some very hard.
There's only one possible exception, and that is if they really were Antifa people, they'll be their charges will be dismissed, and somebody like Bill Gates will pay their bail.
You know, I say again, it's not at all unimaginable that there were some Judas goats in that crowd. I'm not saying that at all. I think that it's even likely to some extent, but everybody to a man had to make the decision on their own volition whether or not to enter into the Capitol building. Now, again, I was confused until this week played itself out. I didn't know that you couldn't go in at least into like
lobby
sort of area.
They had every right to go in. They didn't have any right to break windows.
Well, they say now that it was criminal trespass. They're charging these people with criminal trespass of a restricted area.
In other
area.
Words, American citizens can't go into the Capitol
That's
building
exactly
to
what the law
express
says.
Grievances to their legislator.
That's exactly what they're saying the law
okay,
says.
Okay, I tell you what, there it is. Goodbye, America.
They've all
adios, America, as
with,
Ann Coulter would say.
They've all been charged. I don't have it pulled up with me, but I've read it enough this week to get close to it. I'm going to get somewhere on the dartboard. It was unlawful entry into a restricted area. I mean, it's going to be it's federal charges. I mean, these are going to do some serious time.
I've been jaywalking or something.
No, I wasn't jaywalking. But so they're going after these people. You've got all of the media, you know, asking for information and tips on anybody you know that went into the building so they can go to jail for years or more.
That's why Sam wanted me to go.
I don't think you would have gone, and I don't think you would have entered in the Capitol if you did go.
No,
but
I was more or less like Rich. I saw a developing Charlottesville, and guess what? Both Rich and I were right.
Hey, I'll tell you one thing, though, about Sam. He has the best coverage. He has had the best coverage on this of anybody in the media, alternative media or establishment media. Go to LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyRoundtable.com. Sam talked to numerous people on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday who were there, and they shared personal testimonies and eyewitness accounting. Folks, if you want the best of the coverage on what happened in Washington, LibertyRoundtable.com. Sam gave it to you. Sam Bushman, the one and only. We'll be right back.
Right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.